Brother Marvin has asked you to read from John 10, 1 to 18. This is an interesting portion of Scripture. All Scripture is interesting, but if you go to the end of it, it ties into what Brother Glenn talked about this morning. And verse 17, "Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to lay it down, I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." He's saying, you know, this is what's going to happen. And the next three verses, Brother Marvin didn't ask for them, but they sort of struck me. This is how people react today. There was a division, therefore, again, among the Jews for these sayings. And many of them said, "He hath a devil and is mad. Why hear ye him?" Do we hear that? Others said, "These are not the words of him that hath a devil. Can a devil open the eyes of the blind?" That's what, you know, Jesus' sayings tend to do this to people. It divides. There's people who believe and there's people who don't. And we'll see through what he says in the selected scripture that how people would come to that conclusion. John 10, 1 to 18. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that entereth not by the door into the sheepfold, but climbeth up some other way, the same is a thief and a robber. But he that entereth in by the door is the shepherd of the sheep. To him the porter openeth, and the sheep hear his voice, and he calleth his own sheep by name, and leadeth them out. And when he putteth forth his own sheep, he goeth before them, and his sheep follow him, for they know his voice. And a stranger will they not follow, but will flee from him, for they know not the voice of strangers. This parable spake Jesus unto them, but they understood not what things they were which he spake unto them." So then Jesus had to explain. "Then said Jesus unto them again, Verily, verily, I say unto you, I am the door of the sheep. All that ever came before me are thieves and robbers, but the sheep did not hear them. I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and out and find pasture. The thief cometh not, but for to steal, and to kill, and to destroy. I am come that they might have life, and that they might have it more abundantly. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd giveth his life for the sheep. But he that is an hireling, and not the shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, seeth the wolf coming, and leaveth the sheep, and fleeth. And the wolf catcheth them, and scattereth the sheep. The hireling fleeth, because he is an hireling, and careth not for the sheep. I am the good shepherd, and know my sheep, and am known of mine. As the Father knoweth me, even so know I the Father, and I lay down my life for the sheep. And other sheep I have, which are not of this fold, them also I must bring, and they shall hear my voice, and there shall be one fold and one shepherd. Therefore doth my Father love me, because I lay down my life, that I might take it again. No man taketh it from me, but I lay it down of myself. I have power to take it, to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This commandment have I received of my Father." Let's kneel for prayer.
Good evening. I'm not sure where to start. Glenn had some comments in the closing of the sermon this morning about how Jesus wants to abide with us and he wants to care for us and love us. And I guess that was a little bit of a confirmation on the topic for tonight. And then Matt, the songs you chose for this evening, every one of them was talking about Jesus and his love and his care and his things that he has provided for us. That was another big confirmation on the topic for this evening. I'm going to title the sermon tonight, "The Good Shepherd." And we're going to look at the Good Shepherd, and then we're going to look at sheep, the shepherd of the sheep, or the sheep of the shepherd. As I thought about what I was going to speak on tonight, this just kept coming back to me. And a number of years ago, I did a winter Bible study here on Psalms 23. We're going to touch on that a little bit. but I didn't feel right pulling those notes out and reusing them again necessarily. So I want to look at the shepherd, the good shepherd. What is a shepherd? A shepherd is someone who cares for sheep. Can be a hireling, right? That's what the scripture says. There can be a hireling, but he's not the shepherd. The shepherd is the owner of the sheep. Jesus is the good shepherd, as he says here in verse 14. He says, I am the good shepherd. So we're not going to go through this verse by verse. But this is where I was drawn to as I thought about the good shepherd. As Jesus here shares about being the good shepherd, it's amazing the things that Jesus has done for us. And in the one song we sang, it was listing them, listing many things, not all of them. We can't list all of them. It was listing many of the things that Jesus, God, the Holy Spirit, the Trinity, has done for each of us as his sheep. And secondly, as we look at the sheep, I want to look at our response, proper response that we have to the good shepherd as his sheep. So as we get started here, Numbers chapter 27, verses 15 to 18. Moses, I'm going to read that if you want to turn to that. Numbers 27, 15 to 18. And Moses spake unto the Lord, saying, Let the Lord, the God of the spirits of all flesh, set a man over the congregation, which may go out before them, and which may go in before them, and which may lead them out, and which may bring them in, that the congregation of the Lord be not as sheep which have no shepherd. And the Lord said unto Moses, Take thee Joshua the son of Nun, a man in whom is the Spirit, and lay thine hand upon him. I went to those verses. There's a few more verses I want to look at, but I've done a search of the word shepherd, and this is the first verses that came up. And I found it interesting. There in verse 17, as Moses asked God for this, he asked for someone that can lead them out, can bring them in. And what did Joshua do as he led the children of Israel? He was a shepherd to them. He led them out of the wilderness into the promised land. He led them out of that place where they were in turmoil, unrest. They were constantly moving. They were not at peace. Into a place of rest, into the promised land, where Jesus or God had promised them rest, talks about the rivers that flow with milk and honey, and Joshua was their shepherd. God had put Joshua in Moses' place. Moses led them out of Egypt, but he led them into the wilderness. He couldn't lead them into the promised land, but Joshua did. He was the shepherd there that God had chose for that time. So one way that God provides for us as the good shepherd, he has provided here, I believe, at Pleasant Hill, some good, and I'm going to use the word under shepherds of the good shepherd over the years, and I believe we still have them, good shepherds that have been guiding our flock, leading our flock. That's one way that God, the good shepherd, Jesus, as the good shepherd as well, provides for us today. Matthew 9:36 is another place where the word shepherd is used. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion on them because they fainted and were scattered abroad as sheep having no shepherd. What do sheep that have no shepherd do? They're sort of like the children of Israel in the wilderness, weren't they? They wander. They get scattered. They don't stay together. They get into trouble. I don't have any sheep, but I know little lambs will look for the smallest hole in a fence to get through. They think the grass is greener on the other side, just like us. We look for greener grass, but when you get there, it's not greener like you think it was. So here, Jesus seeing these people, this multitude that were sick and fainting, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, the leaders, the shepherd, the under-shepherds of that time weren't doing a good job. The sheep were being scattered. Another way that he cares for us, he wants to keep us together. Jesus wants to keep his sheep together. He don't want us scattered. That's why he has brought us into multiple congregations, but he has brought us together as a family here at Pleasant Hill, and he has given us under-shepherds to guide us. One reason he wants to keep the sheep together is to protect them. Protect them from multiple things. Try to imagine a shepherd of old having a flock of sheep that he's watching over, and he needs to give them physical protection. If they're all spread out over the hillside, it's hard to do that if a wolf or a lion or a bear may come. But if they're close together, it's much easier to protect them. Can also protect them from eating poisonous weeds. You can see where they're at. You can see what they're feeding on. What about us today? Are we sheep that are spread out all over the place, feeding on different things? We'll get into that after a bit. But he also wants to keep us together so we're not wandering into dangerous areas, dangerous territory. Jesus wants us to stay together. It was mentioned this morning. Let's move to Matthew 25, verse 32. And before him shall be gathered all nations, and he shall separate them one from another, as a shepherd divideth his sheep from the goats. We got to live in this world, don't we? We're going to live among the goats. Jesus is going to separate us from the goats. But for that to happen, or not for that to happen, but when that does happen, we want to be known as sheep. We want him to see us as his sheep. We must follow him. But he will separate the sheep from the goats. And we must know him and be known of him to be a sheep and not be sent with the goats at that time. 1 Peter 2:25, for we were as sheep going astray, but are now returned unto the shepherd and bishop of your souls. The shepherd, the good shepherd, loves us so much, he has made a way when we do go astray that we can come back. You know, if a shepherd had sheep that were going astray and he didn't care about them and left them go, did he care if they came back? The good shepherd has made a way for us to come back when we go astray. He loves us so much. He didn't send a hireling to be the good shepherd. God did not send a hireling. He sent Jesus, his son, the good shepherd. So he makes a way when we do go astray, because we all have. Hopefully we don't, but we all have went astray. And then in 1 Peter 5, verse 4, and when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away. If we are faithful, if we are faithful sheep following the good shepherd, we will receive a crown of glory. That crown of glory is not going to be for our benefit. I believe that is so we can give it back to him. But it is going to be a reward given to us because he loves us so much. As the good shepherd, he has given his life, as was spoke of this morning. He has given it for each of us because he loves us. That's just scratching the surface of the things that the good shepherd has done for us, what he makes possible. And as we know, David is probably the most well-known shepherd that there ever was or ever will be. As he was in checking on his brothers at the battle when they were battling the Philistines in 1 Samuel 17, verses 34 to 37, he shared with King Saul there how he cared for his father's sheep as a son cares for his father's sheep, as Jesus cares for his father's sheep. And in our scripture, it talks about a hireling leaving. David, he wasn't the owner of the sheep, so he was sort of a hireling. But there in 1 Samuel 17, verse 34, "And David said unto Saul, thy servant kept his father's sheep, and there came a lion and a bear, and took a lamb out of the flock. And I went out after him, and smote him, and delivered it out of his mouth. And when he arose against me, I caught him by his beard, and smote him, and slew him. Thy servant slew both the lion and the bear, and this uncircumcised Philistine shall be as one of them, seeing he hath defied the armies of the living God." David said, "Moreover, the Lord that delivered me out of the paw of the lion and out of the paw of the bear, he will deliver me out of the hand of this Philistine." And Saul said unto David, "Go, and the Lord be with you." As David did not run from danger, but stood to protect that little lamb, Jesus was the same way. You know, in the garden, he prayed that this cup could pass from him. But he didn't run. He didn't run from those beatings and those floggings and that cross. But just like David was delivered out of the hand of that lion and that bear, Jesus was delivered from that cross. When he died, he rose again. He was delivered from death. He had power over death, and here David had power over the lion and over the bear because the Lord was with him, and over Goliath as well because the Lord was with him. The good shepherd was with him. The good shepherd is going to be with us. He ain't going to run. And we as under shepherds, each of us that are fathers, as we see danger coming to our families, coming to our little lambs, to our children, are we going to run? Are we going to face those dangers head on, those conflicts, those whatever it may be? Are we going to face it head on? Are we going to be a good shepherd? We can't be the good shepherd, but I believe we can strive to be a good shepherd. So those are a few things that the good shepherd has done and provided for us. Now we as sheep, what should we do? What should our response be? What is a sheep? Is sheep singular or plural for that animal? We don't have sheeps. It's singular or plural. I had to think about that a little bit, because a lamb is a small sheep. It's an animal of one of the most useful species that the Creator has bestowed upon man, and its wool constitutes a principal material of warm clothing, and its flesh is a great article of fuel. The sheep is remarkable for its harmless temper and its timidity. The varieties are numerous. That definition, a harmless temperament and timid. How are we? What's our temperament? Are we timid? I think there are times to be timid, and then there are times that we need to stand. But as a sheep following Jesus, we need to be timid. We need to be humble. We need to be workable. Whatever word you want to use there, as we follow Jesus. In Psalms 23, a very familiar psalm. Psalms 23, the very first verse says, "The Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. I was reading in the Fish Wrapper, I looked up a little story entitled Sheep or Under Sheep, and this story came up. It was a Sunday school teacher wanted to give her young class the assignment to learn Psalms 23. There was a little boy in the class who was all excited about learning this passage, and he went home and he worked really hard on it. He struggled. He just could not remember the psalm. And the day came for him to recite in front of the congregation, and this little boy got up and he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, and that's all I need to know." He couldn't remember anymore. Do we need to know any more than that? Do we need to know what the shepherd is going to provide for us? Or do we have enough faith that to know that the Lord is my shepherd is enough for me? But the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Lord there is being used in the form as a master. He is my master. The Lord is my shepherd. My master is going to lead me. I'm going to follow him. I shall not want. Many times we want things, don't we? Things that we don't need. It's the things that we need he will provide that we won't want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. The green pastures, I believe, speaks of a place of refreshment. I think coming to church is a place of green pastures, still waters. Sheep won't drink from water that is rushing. They want a still small pool or still pool of water to drink from. They can get refreshment. When we come here as sheep, following the shepherd, following the master, we can come here and be refreshed. Ultimately, I think the place of refreshment is when we see Jesus in glory. And as I thought about that, I thought about Brother Steve. I believe he's in that green pasture, if you want to put it that way, experiencing that peace and quiet, being refreshed. He restoreth my soul, and I believe that goes back to the idea of a stray sheep coming back. He restores us. He doesn't tell us to stay away, but he will restore us. So we need to come back. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Not for our benefit, but to bring honor and glory to him, the paths of righteousness, the things that we do that bring honor to him. In verse 4, "Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me, thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me." A rod and staff is used to correct, to rescue, to protect the sheep. And here David says that comforts him. That will comfort him as a sheep to see that rod and staff, to know that the shepherd isn't going to let us just wander off. He's going to come after us. And to know that he will give us protection and that he will rescue us when we find ourselves in a bad place. He prepares a table before us in the presence of our enemies. He says there in John 10 about being the door. When those sheep are inside the fold, they're protected. I believe as we are in the fold, we can eat. He prepares a table before us and we can sit down and eat and be at peace again. It's another place where the sheep rest and are out of harm's way. There in verse 6, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever." And as God's mercy, his goodness to us, it follows us everywhere we go. If we are one of his sheep following him, his goodness and his mercy is upon us every day. And then he says that he will dwell in the house of the Lord. It's a wonderful thought to think of dwelling in the house of the Lord, to dwell with him forever. And as I was looking at some scriptures, I'm not sure where it's at right now, but there's a picture in my Bible of a shepherd that is leading a flock of sheep, and I don't know where it's at. Obviously, it's over in the Middle East somewhere. But as that shepherd is leading his sheep on a road with stone hedges on both sides, there's one sheep that is following right behind the shepherd. And the further back you go away from the shepherd, the broader the flock gets. My challenge, and what challenged me as I thought about this, is being that sheep that is right there in the front, right on the heels of that shepherd, right on the heels of the master. Because as you get further away from the shepherd and the flock becomes larger and wider and more sheep around, it's going to be harder to see the shepherd. It's going to be harder for that sheep to keep its focus on the shepherd. Maybe just following the rest of the sheep. We may be following the rest of the sheep. We may find ourselves as we, if we're not right on the heels of that shepherd, getting caught up in a small number of sheep that begin to wander astray. Or maybe I'm leading the flock, that it, the number that are going astray. But the further away we get in that flock, the more distractions there are. Our focus isn't where it needs to be. So my challenge to you is to be right on the heels of the shepherd, keeping him in our focus, following him. He will lead us where we want to go. He will not lead us in a place that is dangerous or to our harm. As Psalms 23 tells us, how the shepherd will lead the sheep. In Psalms 100, it talks about, I think it's verse 3. Know ye that the Lord, he is God. It is he that hath made us, and not we ourselves. We are his people, and the sheep of his pasture. He wants us to be his sheep. He wants us. He wants to lead us to those green pastures. He wants us to be close behind him. And as we desire to be that sheep that is right on the master's heels, focused on him, you know, if you follow something close enough, you can't see anything else. You know, a number of you that drive truck know that if a car is too close behind you, you can't see them. Well, if they're too close behind you, they can't see anything else either. Same way as sheep following the master. If we are right behind him, we won't be able to see all the other distractions, and he will lead us to those green pastures. So I hope it, I'm getting done a little early here, but I'm hoping that has been a challenge for you. It was a challenge to me as I thought about the Good Shepherd and what he has done for me, how he has led, how he has worked in my life. What is my proper response as a sheep? It is none other than to follow him, to let him lead me where he wants me to go. And as we go from this place, my desire is to follow the master regardless of where he leads. And I hope that's your desire as well.
As I think of Jesus being the Good Shepherd. Have you ever wondered why or is it that Jesus wants to shepherd us? Why does he want to do that? The answer is found in John chapter 14, verse 6. Jesus saith unto him, I am the way, the truth, and the life, and no man cometh unto the Father but by me. Jesus personally wants the opportunity to introduce each one of us to his Father. He wants that privilege. Let's submit and give him that opportunity. At this time, shall we reverently kneel for a short word of prayer in closing?